I have a story to start with. And how many of you wear contacts? Oh, wow, not many. Okay, good. Okay, so I wear contacts, in case you didn't know. I wear contacts, and when I'm not wearing contacts, I have really cool glasses that I wear, but I mostly wear contacts. And the other, about 3 weeks ago, I made this error. When you soak your contacts, for those of you who don't know, you soak them in saline solution. And it's this, like, sanitized, watery solution that cleans your contacts, and then it, when you put your contact in your eye, it feels real nice and moisturized and, like, real good, right? But they sell a product that comes in a very similar bottle that is not saline solution. Instead, it is hydrogen peroxide. So, I accidentally bought hydrogen peroxide at the store thinking it was saline solution. I stored my contacts in it overnight, and the next day went to put my contacts into my eye, and it burned the crap out of my eye. Like, screaming crap out of my eye. And so, you know, the thing is that when you something gets in your eye, when you burn it or something, your reaction is to clench it down as tight as possible. But of course, there's a contact that is soaked in hydrogen peroxide in there. So I have to get it out. So I'm like prying my eye open, trying to get it out. I finally do get it out. But for the next 3 or 4 days, my eye is red and swollen. And I kind of look like this. And it was horrible. Like, I couldn't see. I couldn't drive, because anytime the sun came in, I'd just be like, I had to wear a patch, like a pirate patch at night to keep it, like, safe. But here's the question. So after I cleaned out my eye, after I'm not screaming in pain anymore, right, what is the first thing that I do? Update my Facebook status. The first thing that I do is I go on Facebook, and I want to post this story, because the only thing better than having a great story is being able to share it with all of your friends. And so this is what I do whenever a great story comes into my life. I always want to share it on Facebook. I'm like, hey, Lyra just peed on the stage at church. Facebook, like, you just go straight to those things because you want to share those stories. Now, for the past couple weeks, we've been talking about the fact that God wants you to have a great story with your life. He wants you to write a great story with your life. He doesn't want you to have a boring story. He wants you to have something that is really awesome, where you do amazing things. You want something good. He's daring you to move, daring you to step out of the boat just like Peter and live that great story. But we get to this point where at some point we have to share that great story with other people. At some point, God's saying, I want you to go ahead and tell others about that story. Now, what's really interesting is that we're really excited about telling stories about our own flaws, about ways that we epically failed or somebody else epically failed. We're really excited about telling jokes or how our parents were super mean or anything like that. Like, we want to tell all of those stories until it comes to a story about God. And then we just don't see the need. That, you know, it's not that I'm hiding, it's just I don't really see the purpose in sharing that story. And so that's exactly what we're going to talk about today. There was a guy in the Old Testament, his name is Jeremiah. We're going to take a look at him for just brief couple minutes. And I want you to look at him because he had the same thing. He was thinking the same thing. Jeremiah was a prophet that God had called to speak to the entire nation of Israel and tell them that they were not following God. Jeremiah was called to stand up in the streets and speak really hard things to kings. So we're going to look at how Jeremiah reacted to that. So if you want to go and open your Bible to Jeremiah, it's like here in my Bible, so it's about halfway through. If you find Psalms or Proverbs, you want to keep going in that direction. But if you hit like Ezekiel or like small weird name books like Amos and Micah and Hezekiah and all that stuff, you've gone too far. Okay, so look for Jeremiah. You're going to go to chapter 20, and we're looking for verse 7. So here's Jeremiah. God's telling him he wants him to be a prophet. He wants to tell people about God. He wants to share the stories. This is what Jeremiah says after doing this a couple times. He says, "You deceived me, Lord, and I was deceived. You overpowered me and prevailed. I am ridiculed all day long. Everyone mocks me. Whenever I speak, I cry out, proclaiming violence and destruction. So the word of the Lord has brought me insult and reproach all freaking day long. Okay, the freaking's not in there, but you can hear that that's how he feels. God, this sucks. Everyone makes fun of me. This is not fun to share your stories. Now, I think it's funny because we often treat God the same way. We have a really good idea of we're willing to get up and share stories about who God is when we're in kind of a safe zone, when we're in secret with one other friend who we are sure, absolutely sure is a believer, or we're at church. We're willing to get up and share stories, but sometimes we're not exactly willing to share stories when it's out in the open, when we're outside of this building. And I think it's kind of like this experience I had when I went to a winter camp when I was in ninth grade. We used to go to this ranch where you got to ride horses, and we went there, and it was like this huge room where we stayed with all of the girls in bunk beds. A huge room, not like Lost Canyon Camp where we go to winter camp. Now, how many of you guys are coming to winter camp with us? Okay, winter camp, beautiful, beautiful cabins. This camp we stayed at, not beautiful cabins. It was just this one big room. All the girls are packed in there on bunk beds. Now, at the end of the week, there, of course, is a big mess, and we have to clean it up. So there's one girl who's sweeping the floor. Everything gets swept into the pile, so there's a couple old socks, right? There's always that random old sock that gets left behind, right? But there's also this very old, disgusting pair of underwear. And the underwear is like threadbare, so it's like you can see through it. It's so old. There's like holes in it, not just your leg holes and the waist hole, like other holes in it. And it's dirty. Like it's dirty. Like you can look at it and be like, somebody wore that. That's dirty, right? Right? We got it? Okay, so this is a dirty pair of underwear. And it's in the middle of the floor, and one of the girls, like, takes the broom handle and picks it up, and it's like, whose is this? Is this yours? She's trying to figure out the owner. And of course, she asks every girl in that room, and what does every girl in that room say?
No.
No. And I came to this conclusion. The underwear mysteriously was put there by, like, fairies or gnomes. Right? No, somebody's lying. Like, somebody will not claim their underwear. It's somebody's underwear. And I think that sometimes we treat God like that dirty pair of underwear. We say, I'll wear it in secret as long as I have pants on and nobody can see that this is the type of underwear that I'm wearing. But when it gets out in the open, I'm just not going to say anything. I don't want to clean that underwear. That's gross. Like, I recognize that's gross. Now, we treat God that same sort of way where maybe we don't necessarily say, like, oh, no, I don't believe in God. But we don't claim it. We don't stand by it. We don't own it. And so what I wanted to do is I wanted to kind of compile a list of why we choose to behave that way. Why is it that sometimes it's really hard to talk about God and to talk about what God's doing in our lives? So I need somebody who writes. Somebody who can write, great. Wait, are you going to be fast? You have to write fast. Okay, come on up. All right, McKenna's going to write for us. Give McKenna some love. We need to compile a list. Why are we scared to talk about God, to share those stories? Anything goes. Why? Yeah. What? Embarrassment. We're afraid. Yeah, we don't want to get made fun of. We're embarrassed. Yeah? Judgment. Get that one up there. Any others? Yeah.
People with other religions.
People of other religions. And what about people with other religions?
That they'll
disagree. They disagree with us, okay? That they will disagree with us. Yeah?
We don't know what to say.
We don't know what to say. What else? Yeah?
Having
no friends. Why would you have no friends, Delaney? Rejection, right? Because they'll think you're weird. Yeah, weird. Me, I like to call this that kid. You'll be that kid, right? You know what I'm talking about, that kid? That one kid that, like, is that kid? You don't want to be that kid. Put that kid up there because that's important. Okay, what else? Any other reasons why we don't claim God? You might doubt your beliefs. So like, what if somebody else disagrees with you and then you're like, shoot, why do I believe this? For sure. Any other reasons? Yeah, Colin?
Well, there's a sense of you don't know if it's true,
great. So uncertainty, is that the word you're going for? Uncertainty? Yeah, uncertainty, doubt, I'm not really sure if it's true. Yeah? Okay. It's not cool. Great. It's not cool. Eric, you're our last one. Oh, my gosh. You do that to me a lot, actually. I don't know. Yeah, Sarah, you got one? Oh, okay. All right, good. Any other really good ones that we need to put up here? Eric, you got one? That's what I thought. Yeah. Great, so they'll end up worse than they started off. Fights, debates. I love Facebook debates. If you ever see one going on, can you just tag me? Because I love getting in the middle of those. Those are great. Sometimes I just like reading them. Okay, awesome, good. Any others? All right, great, good list. McKenna, give us some love. Okay, so here's kind of our list. Now, I had the same list. In fact, I kind of still do have the same list. I have these same sort of doubts, these same sort of worries. Now, for me, the biggest one, honestly, is this one, the that kid sort of thing, which kind of encompasses the rejection. It encompasses that it's super not cool. It encompasses, I don't want to be the Jesus freak. I don't want to be the kid that everyone knows is the one who's going to be like, God, Jesus, blah, 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 blah. Like, I'm worried about that. And so actually, John showed me this video this week, and this video kind of encompassed the that kid sort of mentality. So I just wanted to show it. It's a little fun. So here we go. It's not loading? The nun thing video? Okay, thanks. Okay, wait. And 2, 1.
Boys and girls, the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who gives us new life, and he's doing a new thing for us.
Shrine. Though I imagine in 1992, Dave Shrine would have looked very similar and been rapping the same song, right? Okay. All right, so, like, I totally get that. I have this very, like, I don't want to be that kid who gets ridiculed and is wearing the stupid pants and the stupid outfit and trying to rap, you know, like, I don't want to be that kid. And so I find myself that I just don't, I used to find myself that I just wouldn't talk about it. Or I would say something like, well, evangelism isn't really my thing. I really am interested in having a deep relationship with God. I really want to be discipled and know God well. But that whole sharing the gospel, it's not my spiritual gift. It's not really what I do well. So I'm going to hang out in this whole discipleship area. I'm going to make sure that I seek God really well, but somebody else can do that part. And what I found as I continued to grow in my faith and seek scriptures is that the reality is that if you want to grow in your faith will be completely stunted if you don't start sharing about who God is. If you choose to just stay over here and just be like, no, I'm just going to get to know God, I don't need to share it, you're going to stop growing. Because at some point, you're going to recognize that you're still treating God like that dirty underwear on the floor, and God's going to say, if you're treating me like that dirty underwear and not claiming me or pretending that I'm not worth claiming, like, I'm not going to grow in you anymore. I'm not going to continue to find ways that I can show up to you. And so Jeremiah had the same sort of thing happen, and we're going to look in verse 9. Right after he says all of these things of saying, God, I don't want to do this anymore. This is too hard. This is too much. People are making fun of me. People are mocking me. Let's get to verse 9, and this is what he says. But if I say, I will not mention his word or speak any more in his name, his word is in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones, and I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. See, Jeremiah got to this point where he felt like if I don't talk about God, if I don't share about God, if I don't share about the things he's doing in my life, it feels like there is a fire stuck inside of me, and I'm going to explode unless I say it, unless I start sharing about who God is. And so Jeremiah continues to be a prophet to Israel and tell them the really hard things and tell them about who God is. Now, when we're talking about telling our friends and the people that we come into contact with every day about God and about that story, I'm not necessarily telling you to stand up in the lunchroom on your table and start saying, hey, God is doing a new thing. He's doing a new thing. And I'm not asking you to stand up in the middle of your football team on the locker or in the locker room on the benches in front of your football team and saying, you're all going to hell unless you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior right now. Do you want to go to hell? I don't want you to do that. Now, if God puts it on your heart and he says, I need you to do that, then you have to listen to God. But that's not actually what I'm suggesting that you do. Instead, I want to give you some steps of figuring out how to share about God without becoming that kid. Would you guys like to hear them? Yeah. Okay, good. If you had said no, I would have been like, oh, shoot. See you guys later. Okay, yes, you want to hear them. Then here's what it is. I want you to write them down on the little piece of paper you have because I think these are really good. The first thing that you have to do is you have to know that Jesus is alive and active in our world. Jesus is alive and active in our world. Now, there's a word that we use for God called the Holy Spirit, and this is kind of what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit is doing things in our world every day. Jesus, God, is doing things in our world every day. There's a lot of people who believe that God and Jesus, they're up in heaven, and they're looking down at everybody saying, oh, yep. They did that. Well, they're going to pay for it. Oh, they did that. That's good. Good job. 10 points. Like, they believe that God is up in heaven and he's not interacting with the world. But the reality is that if you look at scripture, what's really happening is Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit, is mingling among the people, whether they're believers or not. He is doing things all around us. He's just hanging out, and then he gets trapped, and then he, like, has to move over here, and I hit you on the head, and I'm really sorry about that, right? So, like, Jesus is alive, and he's active among us in our everyday world, and it's not just in our churches. It's not just among Christians. Jesus is doing stuff in unbelievers, in people who say, no, Jesus does not exist. He is doing stuff in our communities and in our schools and in our families where our parents say, I don't care about God. Jesus is trying to make something to happen. He is alive and active. So the first thing that we need to do is we need to acknowledge that that is true. The second thing is that we need to know him well enough to be able to recognize him. Know him well enough to be able to recognize him. If there was a random stranger walking towards me across a big, long football field, I would have no idea who it was. or even if it was some of you that I don't know very well, if you guys started walking towards me from far, far away, I would have no idea who that was. But if it was Zach, if it was my husband, who I know very, very well, if it was him and he stepped foot onto that football field from a far, far distance away, I would know immediately it was him because I know what he looks like. I know how he walks, something like this. Just kidding. He doesn't walk like that. But I would know all of those different things. I know exactly what he looks like from a distance. I know him that well. So do you know Jesus well enough to be able to see him from a far way away? Okay, so that's the other thing. The third thing is that you've got to listen to others' stories, Facebook posts, what's going on in their lives. This is really important because where Christians get a bad name is thing one and thing two over here will be talking about the dance that they went to last night. And all of a sudden, Christian one comes up to them and says, "You guys talk about the dance? Oh my gosh, you're going to hell. Can you please repent and know God?" Right? It's just weird, right? It's super awkward. It has nothing to do with their lives. I don't know who they are. But instead, if I listen to what's happening, if I listen to their stories, what's going on in their lives, all of a sudden I begin to realize that Sarah actually is having a really hard time in her math class. And she's completely failing and doesn't know what to do. She feels like she's an idiot. Sorry, Sarah, if that's true, I didn't know. Right? She feels like she's an idiot. And if I really listen to her story, to where she's at, I can do number four, which is point out where we see God. I can listen to her story, and then I can say, hey, you know what? God did not give you a spirit of fear or timidity, but one of power. And if you need help, I know a great tutor that can work with you to help you do that math problem. Right? We can start pointing out where we see God in everyday things. Now, sometimes it may look like this. It may simply look like you hear a conversation and you have the ability to say, hey, I recognize God in that. And if they kind of look at you funny, like, then you can just be like, okay, walk away. Like, that's fine. But if they say, like what? What does that mean? What are you thinking? They have just asked you. They have just given you permission to say, actually, I see God working in that situation because you feel really down and out, and God wants to give you a spirit of power. He wants you to be encouraged in this, and I want to be an encouragement to you, right? So we have these opportunities to point out who God is in our everyday life. So, one, what was number one that we have to do? Great. Know Jesus is alive and active in our world. Number two? Awesome. Know him well enough to recognize him. Number three? Great. Listen to other stories. And number four? Point out where you see God. Great. Now, if you find at some point that you're like, Beth, I've tried to do this for a week and it's not working. I'm trying to point stuff out and nobody's listening to me and it's not working. Then the problem probably isn't with the pointing out. The problem is probably with step one through three. Do you really believe that God is alive and active? Maybe it's number two. Do you really know him well enough in order to see what he looks like? Have you been spending time with him other than 1 hour a week on a Sunday morning? Have you been spending time listening to who he is and what he has to say? Or number three, and this is probably the biggest, have you listened to others at all? Because I know that I really like to talk. I really like to share my stories. I really like to tell other people what I'm thinking. But I have to be very conscious of, no. What's going on in your life? Let me listen. And then, if you really have done one through three, four is easy. Hey, I think God's doing something in your life. Like what? Let me tell you. Let me tell you what that looks like. It becomes a lot easier to do that. Now, I had this kind of like a mentor when I was younger from third grade until I graduated high school. Her name was Janine, and she worked with me all the time. I was with her like three or four times a week. And she told me one time that her greatest goal in life was to try to get the kids that she works with to see God in everything, to see God in everything. And so she would do this stuff like, here, how do you see God in this? How do you see God in this marker? And we'd have to come up with, okay, I see God in this marker that if you keep the cap on, I'm totally making this up, but if you keep the cap on, if you keep it in good condition, the ink stays wet and it can do what it's supposed to do. But if you keep the cap off and it dries out, it's good for nothing. In that, if we do not keep God close to us, if we don't keep the cap on us in our lives, we dry out and we can't do anything. But if we keep God close to us, he can keep us in good condition and we can continue to be useful for him, right? So she would do this stuff where she would throw out all of these different things, an eraser. How is God like an eraser? She would throw out scenarios to us and try to ask us fire point questions. How do you see God in this situation? How do you see him in this object? So that we would be ready to point out God wherever we saw him. This is an awesome opportunity for us to do the same thing with God. I want to go ahead and look at some of the questions you guys have. So if we can get those up on the screen or if you can pass me my phone or whatever, we can do that. Okay. Okay, while they're getting those up, I want to plug One Meal One Day. One Meal One Day is this awesome opportunity to practice at this idea of sharing what God's doing. And the reason is because lots of people care about feeding hungry kids. And so what you do is you go up to your friend and say, hey, Marshall, you want to help me feed hungry kids? And if he says no, say no.
No.
I say, you're a narcissistic person, and why would you not care about hungry kids? And then he feels really bad, but I move on to the next person. I say, Cole, do you want to help me feed hungry kids? He says, yes! And most people will say yes, let's be honest. When you ask them, most people will say yes. And I have the opportunity to start working with Cole and saying, hey, this is what we're doing. We're going to skip a meal this day. We're going to donate the money. If you can find a couple people to help us out, that'd be awesome. That's it. Then the next day I see Cole, and I say, hey, Cole, why did you say yes to me? Why did you say that you would help me feed hungry kids? And Cole, what would you say? Yeah, I don't know. He'd say, I don't know. That's exactly what you'd say, actually. He would say, I don't know. And I would say, do you want to know why I want to feed hungry kids? What would you say, Cole? Do you want to know why I feed hungry kids? Oh, shoot. And if he says no, then I walk away. But if he says yes, pretend you said yes. He said yes. If he said yes, then I have an opportunity to say, this is why. Because Jesus came to this earth and he taught us that we are supposed to take care of the poor and the hungry. And I am a follower of Jesus, so I want to take care of the poor and hungry too. That's it. End of conversation. We're done. That's not too hard, right? It's real easy flow of conversation. But I want to challenge you guys to try that with One Meal One Day, to practice that when you invite your friends. Okay, now I think we've got our questions, so let's shoot one of those. What do I do if my friend is from a different religion, thinks we believe the same thing? Oh, that's a fantastic question. I have a feeling that this is probably a question that is posed because Mormons often believe that Christians and Mormons believe the same thing. Okay, so I want you guys to be aware of that. Mormons believe that Christians and them believe the same thing. But I want to tell you the truth. That's not true. It's not true at all, actually. And so if your friend believes that you guys think the same thing, I think the best thing to do is start to do a little research and find out where you and that other religion differ. Where do you differ? And then start posing questions to them. Not like, what about this? And what about this? And what about this? Not like that. We like Anthony, right? We don't want to battle ram him with all these questions. Instead, just ask him, hey, I was doing a little research, and when I found out the research, it said that you believe this. I believe this other thing. I don't think those can be the same thing. What do you think? Real easy way to start that conversation. I'd love to hear from you guys if you have any suggestions on this one too. Does anybody find themselves? Yeah, you got one, Colin? Oh, guys, let's listen to Colin, please.
What is it like to, you know, for their religion? Like, there's this one guy who doesn't eat he only eats in the noon or, like, at a certain time of the day once. He only eats once in a day. And he was telling me all this stuff about his religion, which I don't remember the religion. And I didn't want to talk about myself because then if I talked about it, it would be like,
That's awesome, Colin. I love how you started out that in that whole idea of listening to other people and listening to what they have to say about their religion. I really, really liked that. I would say that eventually I'd want to continue the conversation and tell them what I think and what I believe about my religion, because otherwise I think it falls into the category of the dirty underwear on the floor of like, I'm going to keep that quiet because I don't want anybody else to know that I believe something different. So I think that you can have differences in a conversation without it turning into a huge fight. But you wanted to say something, Sarah?
Yeah, I just think it's a really good opportunity to have that conversation just because you don't necessarily have to win over that conversation, but to gain knowledge for future references as well as getting to know your friend better.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, I love that. I love the way you put that. Yeah.
I've had that debate probably like 30 times.
Can you talk louder?
Yeah, I've had that debate multiple times before. Like the biggest thing is you don't want to tell the other person that they're flat out wrong, because then you're just going to offend them and then they're going to be really upset at you and you could ruin a friendship that way.
Great.
And so it's like you tell them that you respect their opinion but that you respectfully disagree. But then it's like if they want to take the conversation beyond that, then you give your reasons why. But if not, you know, it's not worth like getting into a huge fight with your friend or something.
Right. Great. So I think, I totally agree with what you're saying, except you said one little phrase that you said it's not worth having the conversation, and I don't think that's what you meant. I think it is worth having the conversation. I think you would agree with me on that, but it's not worth getting in this bloody battle of blows of like, you're wrong, no, I'm wrong, no. Why would you say I'm wrong? You're wrong, right? And so instead of trying to shut down the conversation and saying, hey, you're completely wrong, instead it's this opportunity to say, let's keep talking about this. Like, I really value what you have to say about this. I want to be valued in what I have to say. Let's keep talking. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. That's great. So always the question of why is really good. And we can ask the question, and they may ask us the question why too, which I know sometimes is scary. If somebody then starts saying, well, why do you go to church on Sunday? Why do you go to a D group? Why do you read your Bible? Why do you believe this about the Bible and not that about the Bible? And what does this look like? And why? And that can be really, really scary, right? That can be super scary. What I want to tell you is awesome. What a great opportunity for you guys to grow in your faith and to have to start thinking, yeah, why do I pray like that? Yeah, why do I think that this is the right thing and that's the wrong thing? That is a great thing for you guys to think about. And I want you to do it now while you're in high school and not while you're in college and you don't have a support system to help you think about that. I was gonna close. I was going to move on. Yeah, let's do one more question. Oh, One of my friends is Mormon and asked me if I believe Jesus and God were the same person. I'm not sure what my religion believes about this, but I feel like I owe her an answer. And these kind of questions are the key to helping her understand my view on God and religion. All right, what do you guys think? God and Jesus, are they the same person? Okay. So you say yes. Okay. They're the same person through the Holy Spirit. Okay, great. Okay, super cool. Someone from over here. Okay. Cool.
That's like the biggest debate amongst Christians, and like the thing is like the Holy Trinity is like already the same person, or just like something that implies the same entity. It's like,
what do you think?
Jesus, God, and Holy Spirit work together to all accomplish that, like let us have a stronger faith and to like comprise at least around us in a sense, you know? And so like maybe they aren't the same person, but they do a lot of the same things.
They aren't the same person, but they do a lot of the same things. Okay, Joey, this is the last one I'm gonna take. Awesome. Okay, so here's what I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you that in Christianity, there are what we like to refer to as open-handed theology things, open-handed beliefs, and closed-fisted beliefs. The open-handed beliefs are stuff like, for communion, do you use wine or grape juice? All right, stuff like that. That really, if you believe you should use wine or you believe you should use grape juice, we're still Christians. That's an open-handed thing. We can debate about that all day long. Then there are closed-fisted things. There are things that if you don't believe the stuff that's inside my fist right now, that means you start to get into a different religion. This is a great question because this is one of the closed-fisted theological issues. And this is this, that the God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit are the same person. They're of the same essence. And this is really hard to understand because exactly what Allison was talking about, it's hard to understand that if God was in heaven, how could he also be Jesus here on earth, right? So that totally makes sense. But because he's God, he is able to be three different essences, but still one God, right? So we call this the Trinity, and it's this triangle where there's God, the Holy Spirit, and there's Jesus, and they are completely one thing. They are one God, but they have these different kind of manifestations, these different attributes. Jesus was God's son here on earth. The Holy Spirit is what still exists in this earth. That is his life, his breath that comes, and God is the Father above. So our finite minds, because we can't really understand how could one person be in three different places, we kind of break it down to this. Yeah, Dave, did you want to throw in something? Yeah, that's great. Hey, I want to keep talking to you, but I have to move on to worship. But please do not come to me. Does that make sense? Do you got that? Double negative means you have to come to me afterwards?
Okay.
All right. If you did text messages, that's awesome. I'm going to get to you guys. I want to go ahead and have some time for us to respond in worship, to listen to who God is and what he's telling us. God may be bringing up and stirring in your heart, hey, you need to start talking about me. And I want you guys to give you guys space in order to hear God saying that to you. So if you guys will go ahead, stand up. We're going to pray. And as I pray, I want you to also pray that God will speak to you during this time. Father God, you are so big, and I'm really glad you're so big. I'm really glad that you are not this dirty underwear on the floor that we have to despise and pretend we don't know. Instead, you are this magnificent God that loves us. So, Father, I ask that you would speak to us now, that you would give us courage where we need courage. But Father, you would convict us in our hearts. If there's somewhere where we need to make you famous, if we need to share your story, I ask that you would bring that to our minds now as we worship you. Amen.